Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to the spoken word, I pray you hide me behind the cross and that what you have prepared in me will now come through me. Your word never comes back empty. May it encourage us today. May it help us today. May we learn further as we take another step of what it means to learn to love like Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, we started a four-part series called Love Like Jesus. We focused on John 13, 34, and 35. If you have your Bible, Robbie's going to bring it up on... Do you have it on the screen for you? Yes. And this was last week. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And that this would be what he's saying: by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That would be the defining mark. That would be how people could tell. Now, why was that so important? Because in where Jesus was and in our day, there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of hate. There was a lot of religion. In fact, the Pharisees and the scribes really didn't buy into this idea. The religion, the Jewish religion of that day that Jesus is speaking into the hearts of people, they didn't have any idea of love. It was about a set of rules and regulations and a set of do's and don'ts. And if you didn't dot every I and cross every T, you didn't get to experience the love of God. You weren't good enough. Jesus said, "Look, I love you. And I want you to learn to love one another." And we talked about that. Today we begin the second step in our journey. It's a more difficult step. His name was Max. Max was a sixth grade teacher. He had been teaching for a lot of years. And through the years, Max had done what teachers did in my day. Now, some of you younger won't know what I'm talking about, but some of you will. He accumulated teachers' pets. Any of you know what I'm talking about? No, I'm not talking. If any of you who were young are thinking, "What? Was Kendra the teacher's pet?" Oh, Lord, poor teacher. Well, over the years, he did that. And a number of times, most of the time, the teacher's pet ended up being female. Well, where I heard this story from, the fellow who talked about it, he said, "You know, I was in Max's class, and he really didn't like boys, and I was glad when I got out of there." He said, "I got on to high school, and my sister, younger sister who came through there, I came to discover that she was the teacher's pet." So he said, "I tortured her terribly about that, Max's pet." And he said, "I went on to college, and then news broke over the internet and over the TV one day that Max had been arrested. Max had been arrested because over the years, as he accumulated female teachers' pets, he had been sexually abusing them." Craig, who got this word, not our former pastor, said the news shook him to the bone. He said, "I immediately thought of my sister," and he said, "I made a call home, and my mother was in tears." He had been abusing my sister as he had other little girls for a long, long time. It had been going on for years. He said, "You know, I wasn't much of a Christian then. I wasn't much of a believer, not even sure I was, but," he said, "I hated Max. I hated him like no man that you could ever imagine, and I really hoped, and sometimes I would pray that he would burn in hell forever." Max was convicted, sent to prison. About 8 months later, he's in a Bible study in his dorm area. And Craig tells the story that the fellow leading the Bible study asked them, he said, "I want you to think of some situation that's happened in your life where you will absolutely in no way offer forgiveness and someone you don't like. And it wasn't hard for Craig because it popped right in his mind. And the leader said, is there anybody you'd like to tell? And he didn't tell the whole story, but he said, I want to tell you about Max. I hate Max. I hope Max dies and burns in hell forever. The leader didn't say a whole lot, but he opened his Bible, as we will today, to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 6th chapter, to verses 14 and 15. It's going to be up on the screen. This is the second step that we're learning in learning to love like Jesus is contained in this passage, and it is a difficult step. Now, just before verses 14 and 15, in verses 9 through 13, we have very familiar words, and Robbie, you don't need to put those up there. It's the Lord's Prayer. The disciples had said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And we know the Lord's Prayer. Started to do it this morning. We're not going to do that, but we get to that part, and it says, forgive us our what? Trespasses or debts as we forgive our, or those who, we forgive our debtors or those who trespassed against us. Well, you know, I've sung that song, and I love singing that song because I've got a bit of a full voice, and you get to that last part, and you can just, you know, just make it sound so good. And then we get to verses 14 and 15. And Jesus, in the same way that he's teaching them to pray, says these words that are very difficult to read. For if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Well, that's not a problem, is it? But if you don't forgive them, God won't forgive you. Wow. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? And Craig said that night as he heard those words and they burned to his heart, he said, you know, there's got to be a but in there somewhere. There's got to be something in there. There's got to be a what. There's got to be a but. There's some things that have been done to me or done to you or done to your family that just can't be, they're not going to be forgiven. We're not going to let go of them. But Jesus said that we're to love one another. You see, we're not only called to receive the love of Christ. I like that part, don't you? Amen. I like Jesus loving me and forgiving me. We're also to offer it to others. To love like Jesus, we must do as Jesus did. And so the second step, love one another, the second step is forgive sinners. And I got news for you. Every one of us in here is a sinner. Maybe you're a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up with God somewhere. And I know what maybe you're thinking because as the Lord led me to this message and I begin to prepare it, I begin, Lord, but you don't understand what they did to me, what they did to my wife, what they did to my family, and what that person did or what that group did or what that situation did. Lord, you weren't there. Lord, I can forgive, you know, I can forgive Ruth for being, and Robert and some of them for being Duke fans, and some of the others for all of you not being Carolina people, and you can't help it. I can forgive you for that. That's not hard. But there are just some things. Lord, there are just some things that, there are just some places that passage doesn't fit. Matthew 27, verse 33. If you're not familiar with it, it's the story of the crucifixion. In Matthew and Luke, we have some passages we'll put up there. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they brought him there. And in Luke, it tells us, in the Luke passage, it tells us that they hung him between two criminals and they nailed him to a cross. Now, as I was reading and studying historically the other day, when we place a cross or we see a cross, it's usually on top of a steeple or somewhere real high up. The cross in those days really was not as far off the ground as we put them. They really were a lot closer. They didn't waste the wood to make the cross 12 feet high. Jesus wasn't 12 feet off the ground. In fact, Jesus is on his cross. And when it says that the two criminals were beside him and that the other people that are coming around him, I don't usually come down here, but the other people that were around him were sneering at him. The scribes and the Pharisees and the thieves are saying, and the others are saying, you forgave others, you helped others, saved others, save us. It's not he's way up there looking at him. He's about right here. They're spitting at him and they're sneering at him. And I really believe that on the precipice, the very edge of heaven, that there stood 10,000 legions of God's angels saying, Lord, Father, just give us the signal and we will go down and stop this thing. This innocent man. Is there anything more horrible, if you can imagine? Now, I've been accused of things that I didn't do, and you'll fight it, but we'll fight about that. Well, I mean, we'll stand up for ourselves on that. But here is God's Son. Here is a teacher that taught as nobody else did, who'd never done anything wrong. And yet he's hanging on that cross, and the first words out of his mouth, instead of come thousands of angels and destroy the world, was Father, forgive them. Wow. Oh, that's easy for us. You know, he was Jesus. That's no big deal. Folks, first words, never condemned us. Stayed up there. Didn't have to go. And when he's teaching them to pray in Matthew, he's looking forward to that time when he knows it's going to happen and he says, if you'll forgive others, your Father will forgive you. If you won't forgive others, you're not going to know the truth of forgiveness. You're not going to experience it. Now I want us to get serious for just a few moments, just really serious. If you live long enough in this world, somebody you love, somebody you know, a group, a church, a pastor, a church member, a friend, a relative, a husband, a wife, a child, a father, a son, girls, you're going to get your heart broken. And I don't mean by sadness. I mean somebody's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt at a depth where you're going to say to yourself, okay, that's just plain unforgivable. When I think about Max and I think about what he did to those little girls, I got news for you. I don't know. You're going to experience a hurt that is going to devastate if you don't. Praise God that you get through this life without it. But most of us can say, I have experienced a hurt that has devastated me. And you're sitting here telling me that Jesus said, regardless of that, I got to forgive them. But there is no but. And so we go from hurt to anger to bitterness. But Jesus said, if you don't. To love like Jesus, to really learn to love like Jesus. And some people say, well, I don't want to learn to love like him. Then you'll never really know him. Then we need to do what is recorded in the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, the 28th verse. For that person you absolutely cannot forgive, for that group, for that church, for that pastor, for this or that, I want you to look in your Bible if you have it, but I want you also to look up on the screen, Luke 6, verse 28. Helps if I figure out that Luke and John are different. Luke 6:28. How do I do that? How, Lord? And You know, I've been pastoring a long time. I've hurt people deeply. I've been hurt deeply. My wife and I have been hurt deeply. And there have been some things that have happened to us. I know that just there are people I really don't want to forgive. You know, when it's the toughest is when you see them somewhere. Y'all have experienced this. You ever experienced this? Somebody that's really hurt you deeply, and the next time they see you, stand up, Ruth. Hey, Ruth, how you doing? Hadn't seen you in a while. And I'm going, oh, if I could get my hand on my knife. That's what you're really thinking. They don't even know that they hurt you. You know, Jesus didn't say, if they call you and say, forgive me for hurting you. He didn't say if they even recognize it. In fact, they may be dead. I know some people that are still hurt over somebody that's dead. They can't get over it. What did he say do? Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Now, Lord, you really have lost it. I'm to pray for them. I'm to pray for those people that hurt me, that person that hurt me, that wife that hurt me, that husband that hurt me, that child that hurt me, my father. I'm to pray for that person. Yes. Oh, I'll pray for them, all right. Won't you? I'll pray like Craig did. I pray he burns in hell forever. That's why it's so much fun being Southern. My mother went to New York. My father spent a lot of time in New York. My mother went with him one time. She was a very Southern lady. She met a guy up there in one of the shops. He said, you know, I'm not so sure I like you Southerners. He said, why? He said, well, when we see someone we don't like or we're offended with, we'll either spit on them or cuss them or do something. He said, y'all got all these little phrases or y'all got that little Southern smile. What's the words we use? Bless your heart. That's not really what we want. Why do we need to pray for them? I've experienced this personally. So I will tell you. Why did Jesus say pray for them? In Matthew 5:34, again, he mentions praying for them. Why? Because when you can get where you can pray for them, it'll begin to change your attitude. It may not change theirs. They may be the same jerk they always were. But it'll change yours. And it'll begin to soften your heart. And when you see them, you won't be thrilled about it, but you'll realize that they are imago Dei, that they are made in the image of God, that they're God's children just like everybody else is, though I'm a superior God's child and they're an infant, you know. As you begin to pray for them, I found that in some very difficult situations that the Lord, and I went, Lord, I don't want to pray for them. What I want to pray, you don't want me to pray. I want to pray they get in a wreck and die. You know, I want to pray they're gone. I want to pray they'll leave me alone or leave somebody else alone. It'll begin to change your attitude and it'll soften your heart. And I know what it's like to have a bruised, hurt heart. I do. You too. Second thing, it won't change them necessarily, but it'll change you. You see, he hung there on that cross, and the first words out of his mouth were not, I want to cause curses. I want to damn every one of you to hell for what you are doing to me. He said, forgive them. Now, I know he was the Son of God, fully God, but also fully human. Do you not think that that was not difficult for Jesus? But he was doing what the Father asked him to do, and he did it out of love. And what we need to remember is that we can either take the Bible and passages like this one, and we can ignore it when it gets too tough, or we can obey it, as hard as that is. You see, God never said it was easy. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to heaven, God sent us his power plant. He sent us the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit is to help us. And I want to tell you that there's somebody on your heart or your mind right now, or a situation maybe that you haven't been able to offer forgiveness. Maybe you put it aside and you just don't deal with it anymore. I don't have to deal with that person. They're gone. But I'm talking about you've got to get where you can say, Father, I forgive them. Not, well, I do. No, you got to be able to say it and mean it. And I'm going to tell you, it won't be easy. And I want you, as you learn to do that, to be honest with God. Be honest with Him. When He's led me to do that a couple of times, I've had to say, Lord, I really don't want to do this. He goes, I know. I know you don't. And I understand. They hurt you deeply, or they hurt this person deeply. I understand. But I want you to pray for them. And I want you to forgive them. Because I... And you're going to go, but Lord, why? Because I forgave you for much worse. Who do you need to begin to forgive today? I didn't say who do you need to forgive today, because it's not an instantaneous thing. Don't be like the lady I meet. I just love everybody. Don't you like people like that? I like running into people that are so sweet and so spiritual. It's like they got toothpicks, you know. It's a snowy, icy, rainy, nasty day. Somebody just drove by in their car and splashed mud and water all over you. And you're going, oh, just bless their heart. That's what I'm doing. It won't be easy. But Jesus said, if you're going to learn to love like me, that's what you got to do. You got to do it. You got to do it. And it'll change your heart. And it might even change theirs. It took him a lot of years, but Craig wrote Max a letter in prison. He didn't know anything about him. He just knew he was there. He got a letter back from Max's prison nurse. Max, when he received the letter, was dying of cancer. He was already dead when he got the letter, but when he received it. And what Craig said in that letter is, Max, I don't understand what you did, but I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and I forgive you. And as he read that letter, or the nurse read it to him, he said, please read it again. Please read it again. And she's telling him that he did this. Please read it again. And he said, you know, he kept saying, Jesus loves me. I didn't think that God or anybody could ever love me again. And Craig, at the bottom, because he's become one of America's most well-known pastors, had put how to be saved. And Max read those words. And a few days later, he lost his life. He paid his debt to society. But when he closed his eyes here on earth, as unfair as that seems, he woke up in glory. Why? Because Jesus loved him, we know that. But because somebody whose heart was so hard and so broken and so filled with hate began to pray for them, and God began to change not Max. He didn't even know he would change Max, but to change him. It made a difference in somebody else's life. And he said, you know what? I look forward to the day when I get to heaven. He said, because Max is going to be there. And he's going to be my brother in Christ. And you're going, how in the world can somebody who molested little girls make it to heaven the same way you and I do? The Bible says, gentlemen and ladies, if you look upon a lady or a man with lust, you've committed adultery. But if I were to ask you today, how many of you here have committed adultery? You wouldn't admit it.
The Bible says if you tell a lie, even a little white lie, that's a sin, and one sin will send you to hell. We're all sinners. The only difference in me and other sinners and you and other sinners is we're saved by grace. Because you see, Jesus, when He died on that cross, said, "Father, forgive them." And He died so that I might be forgiven. And He said, "Dana, for all that I have forgiven you for, past and future." You go, "Future? Yeah, I'm pretty close to perfect, but not quite there yet, right?" I knew that'd get some of you. Oh, come on, you can smile about that. Okay. No amen? Chris, you could have given me an amen. Brittany did, okay? He loves you. If you're here today and you don't know what forgiveness is about yourself because you haven't forgiven, maybe you did something and you haven't forgiven yourself. And you're saying, "God could never forgive me." God will forgive anything. There's only one thing the Bible says that Jesus will not forgive. It is called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What is blasphemy? You don't know what blasphemy is? Very, very simple. It's the only unforgivable sin. Divorce is forgivable. Anything, murder, they're all forgivable. The only one. You know why? You know what that is? That is saying no to Jesus. Jesus says, "I'm offering you this forgiveness." And the only way that's done is through the work of the Holy Spirit. And you say to Him, "No, thank you. I'm offering you forgiveness of your sins." And you say to Him, "Not interested." And Jesus said, "That is an unforgivable sin. And that is a sin that will send you to hell." Why? Because you wouldn't accept His forgiveness. And if He forgave you, can't we forgive others? Can't we learn to love one another? Can't we learn to forgive one another, as difficult as that is? That's the second step. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for forgiving me. I know that there are things in my life and in lives of people that I've ministered to that they feel like You could never forgive, but there's nothing You won't forgive except rejecting Your offer of forgiveness. Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs to receive Your offer of forgiveness, it's always available. It's just whether we'll take it. Now, Lord, I say it's always available. There does come a time when You walk up and say, "Look, I'm offering You forgiveness today," and You've told Him no so many times, they've told You no so many times, Lord, that You finally say, "Okay, the offer's closed." Father, teach us to love You. Teach us to receive Your forgiveness, but teach us to forgive others so that we can love like You. Amen. As we come in our time of invitation, if you're looking for a church home, I think this is a pretty good one, in spite of the pastor. Right, Ollie? If you have a need to come to this altar to pray, come pray. If you need to have a little altar right there, there's somebody you can't forgive. Well, I know that's what the preacher said. Listen, you're going to stand before, every one of us is going to stand before the Lord one day. I just want to give you this, okay? And He's going to say, "Why didn't You forgive this person?" Well, Lord, and He's going to say, "On this date in 2017, You heard my messenger, Dana, share with you the truth of the gospel. Your excuse doesn't fit." It won't be easy, but He can help you do it. And who knows? Maybe there's some Maxes out there who will come to know the Lord because somebody forgave them for something they did that was awful.